Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. As we look at this passage this morning under the theme of to take up thy cross, perhaps many things might come to your mind when you think about that particular saying. The Lord Jesus, of course, took up a cross which only we can talk about, as we have never really taken up that kind of a cross which Christ did. And it seems also that though the disciples would have liked to have followed the Lord and made certain claims that they would not depart from the Lord, we find that they all did leave the Lord. And of course, Peter himself rejected or denied the Lord three times before the Lord's crucifixion. And so we find that this phrase that is used to take up the cross is one that perhaps we have mixed feelings about. And we do know that there have been many who have followed in a similar way, in the sense of martyrdom for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to talk about that a little bit this morning, what it means to take up the cross of Christ. As the suffering Messiah, it is important for us to recognize that what Christ did, we cannot do. In fact, we find that it took the sinless Son of God, sent into the world to be the Savior of sinners. Therefore, we cannot take up the same cross that the Lord Jesus took up. He alone could bear that cross of suffering for us. And we often come to the Scriptures and speak of the cross of Christ and of the terrible price that the Lord Jesus Christ took for us, that he suffered horrible sufferings for us, and that in those sufferings, as the Son of God, he took upon himself the sin of the world. And as even as he was nailed upon the cross, and as he bore the weight of the cross upon his very body, soul, and spirit, we recognize that Jesus did something quite uniquely that no other man had done. Even though there were many people who had suffered the cross of execution in the Roman style, we do know that only Jesus bore the cross of our suffering, which of course primarily means that God himself, the incarnate Son of God, came down and was born of Mary. Therefore, he took upon himself human flesh, and as the Son of God took upon himself human flesh, he came to be known as the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he would come to bear the penalty of sin. No one else bore the penalty of sin, though they bore the Roman cross and the execution of the cross. Only Jesus bore the penalty of sin because he was the Son of God and he was sent to do that very thing for us. And of course also it reminds us that the Son of God did not have to do that. That is, after all, he is God. He was not a finite man. He did not possess a sin nature. He did not commit sin. Therefore, he had not any penalty of sin on his own nature. He was sinless, and he was the Son of God. And so he came uniquely such into the world to bear our sin and our suffering. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so we find that God sent his Son in this manner to die for us, and he took up that cross of suffering. And so as we look at this passage in verses 34 to 38 in particular, I want to just kind of elaborate a little bit further on what this means for us to take up the cross of Christ. If you'd look with me now at verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." First thing that we probably take note of is that in the calling of Jesus to his disciples and to those who were listening, to the crowd, if you will, he says to them that if they would become followers of Jesus, they must deny themselves. And in that denial, we find that much is said about the idea of self. And so what does it mean? First of all, to take up your cross, it means to deny self. Now, in what sense are we talking about the denial of self? Well, Paul made the statement that he himself died daily to the cross of Christ. And so we find that the Apostle Paul, though he is considered to be a giant among the men of the New Testament, the apostles, though he calls himself an apostle out of due time, he knew that it was necessary that he must deny himself if he was to take up the cross, his cross, and bear it for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider that the cross of Christ has to do with self-denial, then we're called upon immediately to take some recognition of how we go about doing that. And As we consider the early disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that each of them came to, you might say, a crossroads in their life, that they found that it was necessary to cast aside, as it were, self in the pursuit of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about that, that means something to us about what it means to bear your cross. It is to cast aside your own pursuits in life that you might pursue the life of Christ. And, you know, you may say, well, does that mean I have to give up my job? Or does that mean I have to abandon all pleasure? Or that there are other ambitions that I have that I have to just say I can't pursue those things? Not necessarily. We would answer that question probably more adequately by saying, what God do you follow? You remember the prophet Elijah, as he was on the top of Mount Carmel, and as he confronted the prophets of Baal, those false prophets of the idolatrous God to which Israel was following, and to which many of the nations of the world around Israel followed as well. No doubt a god that they were looking to prosper them as far as their crops was concerned, and the prosperity of their lives and of their livelihood. In other words, when one is following the god of this world, when one is following Satan or Baal, as it were, one is not following Christ. And what does Jesus say to Peter in verse 32 about this? And he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Why did Peter want to rebuke Christ? Because we see that he says in verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and by the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. The very thing that Jesus came to do is the thing that Jesus was telling the disciples, and that he was telling the crowd. And even though that they would not understand, he probably was saying this primarily for the sake of his own disciples, and who but Peter should speak up most pointedly about this. And he tries to rebuke Jesus. Now, if we just stop right there for a minute, we would say this. If it means to take up the cross of Christ, take up your cross, and as speaking to you, as Jesus might speak to the disciples, to take up his cross, meaning the one that you would bear, then it must mean something in relationship to what Jesus was saying to the disciples, that he must suffer and that he must die, he must be rejected, he must die, and that after his death that he would be raised again. Now see, that core truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is one of those truths which identifies us as Christians. In fact, you cannot be a Christian if you do not identify with him. And in reality, you cannot bear your cross for Christ unless you identify with that core truth and that gospel message which Jesus told his own disciples. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and by the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. You see, the world will accept just about any god as long as it is acceptable to them. As long as it is a god who has some decent teaching or something, as long as it has some appeal to mankind, as long as it is a god who doesn't require that we do much, and certainly that a god that doesn't say that that they are the way, the truth, and the life. Today you may have noticed that there is a great emphasis on Eastern gods in our society. If you haven't, you should take particular note of it. Buddhism is portrayed everywhere. Oprah Winfrey is essentially a Buddhist. And when she takes her hands and goes like this and makes a gesture toward somebody else, either in greeting or in some sense to that person, she is saying with this little innocuous type of a gesture that she is bowing to the God in you as you would bow in the God in me. When you look at the advertising in our society, and you see just about everywhere that the media is promoting yoga, it is because it is an Eastern mystical form of worship connected with the gods of India, and that it also is promoting the worship of the God within you. And if you don't know that, or if you think that it is somewhat of a benign thing that yoga is being presented almost universally everywhere, then you are very sadly deluded, that you are under a delusion. Be very aware. The news media doesn't promote anything that does not have money behind it, and it does not promote their own interests and their own cause. And you will find that once it begins to promote it, and you will find that corporations all around the world will get behind it because it sells. And we find that Eastern mysticisms are on the rise at an alarming rate. What is the veil in our society that causes people to bow down and worship it? But it is the godlessness of a people who do not believe that Jesus Christ came to suffer and die for the sins of the world. They do not believe that Jesus came as that Son of Man who would suffer many things and be rejected by his own people and by the chief priests and by the scribes and be killed and 3 days rise again. I'd like to say first of all to you this morning that the first area of denying yourself is this. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you must believe that he came to do the very thing that the Word of God says about him. And you must be willing to accept that truth without reservation. And that must be a definitive part of your carrying your cross for Christ. Secondly, as we look at this passage in verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Second part of this is to follow Christ. There are many people who will give assent to truth. They will say, oh, I believe in God. They may even say, I believe in Christ, or I believe in Jesus. And they may use very good words. In fact, today we hear lots of good words being used. We believe our country is a country which is built on compassion and love and freedom and liberty. Lots of good things that people talk about. But yet as they talk about those things, they riot in the streets. They burn cars. They will smash store windows. They will carry hateful signs. They will do everything to establish their own self right and everything which they believe promotes their own interests. Good words alone are not the mark of what it means to follow Jesus. No, one must carry the identity of the cross of Christ in your life. That is not to say that we shouldn't be compassionate. It is not to say we shouldn't be loving. It is not to say we shouldn't have liberty. It's not to say there shouldn't be freedom. It's not to say there shouldn't be a free expression of ideas or free speech. No. And we find that those things are a universal want of all people. Everybody wants those kinds of things. But how many will take up their true identity with Christ and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it means that you are not loved? Even if it means that you will not have your liberty or it will be taken away from you? Even if it means that some will seek to kill you or destroy you or suffer hurt and harm to you. You see, when we look at Jesus, who is our true example, that is the very thing that we see. Jesus was without defilement within his very life. He had no sin. He did not sin against his fellow man, and he did no violence toward his fellow man. And yet, we find that those people that he preached to concerning the best of humanity's ideas, the best of the teachings of the inspired Word of God, though Jesus spoke those words, those very same people cried out to about Jesus, "Crucify him." Those were the same people who would have said, "Oh, we want love, and we want compassion, and we want freedom, and we want liberty." In fact, they were trying to seek all those same things from Rome. They didn't want to be under the authority of Rome. They wanted to be free from the authority of Rome. And they wanted to worship as they pleased and to do the things that they pleased. But what did they end up doing? They ended up rejecting the Son of God, the one who came into the world to die for their sins. And so what does Jesus say to his own disciples? "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so in the second thought, then, we must recognize following Christ has a cost. There is a cost of discipleship. The very same people who would hold up their signs in the streets today in America, do not think for a moment that they would not come after you if the opportunity availed itself. Yet just because you happen to be a Christian, they would come after you. I'd like to read a brief article. Czech aid worker, Sudanese pastor, and Darfur Christian sentenced to prison in Sudan. A judge in Sudan on Sunday, January 29th, sentenced Czech aid worker Petra Sejak to life in prison and two other Christians to prison terms for 12 years on charges related to espionage and a defense attorney said. Peter Sejak was in prison for life. Attorney Muhaddad Nur told the Morningstar News, along with the life sentence for espionage and waging war against the state, he was also sentenced to 6 months in prison for spreading false rumors undermining the authority of the state, spreading false news aimed at tarnishing the image of Sudan, and a fine of 100,000 Sudanese pounds, approximately $16,000, for working for a non-governmental organization in Sudan without a permit. He was also sentenced to 1 year in prison each for inciting strife between communities, entry in and photography of military areas and equipment, and illegal entry into Sudan. He was a Christian. Do not think for a moment that it could not happen in the United States. Pakistan acquits all 115 suspects in burning of Christian homes. A court in Pakistan on Sunday cited lack of evidence to acquit all 115 suspects in the burning of more than 150 houses of Christians in 2013 over alleged blasphemy of the Prophet Muhammad. Chandri Muhammad Azam, Lahore's anti-terrorism court judge, said the prosecutors failed to produce sufficient evidence against the accused, who had been charged under various laws, including the Anti-Terrorism Act, attempted murder, robbery, arson, terrorism, according to the Indian Express. Chandri Muhammad Azam, Lahore's anti-terrorism court judge, said the prosecutors failed to produce sufficient evidence against the accused, who had been charged under various laws, including Anti-Terrorism Act, attempted murder, robbery, arson, and terrorism, according to the Indian Express. Those are just a couple of incidents of Christians who are in other countries, whether it be Pakistan or another country. We find that many Christians suffer. You see, they have identified themselves with Christ. They have identified themselves with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And they try to live out their Christian lives with that identity, following the Lord. And what are they doing? That they are taking up the cross of Christ and they're following him. And that is probably the best explanation that I can give for what it means to take up the cross of Christ. We read a little bit further here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. For whosoever would have his life shall lose it, would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. As we find, the comparison is one which is a little backwards to the world. If you want to save your life and the world, then you better get in line with what the world is doing. It's a good idea to be politically correct, or they'll call you a bigot. It's a pretty good idea to be politically correct, or they'll call you a racist. It's a pretty good idea to be politically correct, or you will not be allowed to join certain groups. The women who just marched in Washington protesting that they cannot abort children or have their rights as women to protect, as they say, their medical health, etc. They were very much against those in pro-life groups. Well, do you think they would allow anyone to join their march who does not believe their cause? It has been shown that there was a lot of violence connected with that march. Something that is supposed to be so noble and so good and so right and so compassionate and loving toward women was a march that was very violent and hateful and despised others. There is a way that the world thinks that you can save yourself. But the Lord says if you choose that way, then you will lose your life. You will not save it. Because it is to follow the philosophy of the world, not Christ. In other words, it is not identifying with Jesus. and with the message that Jesus gave, and it is not to claim Him as true Lord and Savior, but it is to seek one's own way, and that is not to take up the cross of Christ. But if one is to save their life, then one must lose their life in this world. You must be willing to lay down something. You must not curry the favor of the world. If you do, it will take you in the wrong direction. You must be careful about the ideas that the world promotes, lest you be drawn into them and find that you would be a part of the anarchy which is going on even in the world today. I do not believe that true Christians will follow the path of anarchy, that it is a complete contradiction to our faith to do so. And that is not to say there haven't been some who have called themselves such as Christians and done violent things. Oh, we know there is always the exception. And there are always those who will seek to pervert the right ways of God. But the true Christian does not seek those things. In verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, really, there is no price, is there, that man can give to save their own soul. God alone is the one who gave, that one who paid the price for our soul, Jesus Christ. And so to take up the cross of Christ, one must identify with Christ. And that is to deny self. To take up that cross, to identify with Jesus, is to deny self. To follow Jesus is to follow Him in spite of the world and the dictates of the world. Because the world, of course, is very changeable. In verse 38, in closing, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of his Father with the holy angels." And so basically the Lord is saying at the end of life, at the end of the age when Jesus comes again, that is when the record shall be set straight. And if one has not truly followed and identified with Christ, it will be revealed at that time. And so it is all the more important that we know who we are following now and for what reason we are following that person. And there is none other person given under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. That is what the Scripture says. And so there is no Buddha, there is no Islam, there is no Krishna, there is no other Indonesian deity or Indian deity or African deity or European deity. There is none that can save but Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so it goes to idolatry. The idea of taking up one's cross for Christ goes to idolatry. Either one is an idol worshiper, or one is a worshiper of the true and living God. And one identifies with Jesus Christ as Savior. Therefore, we must make our choice. Because the eternal nature of things is, when Jesus Christ returns with His Father's glory, that it will be revealed. And we want to be known as those who are followers of Christ. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning. And pray that You will impress it upon us as it is an important subject to take up the cross of Christ. I pray that You will consider our weakness, for You know that we are but dust. And Lord, that we cannot save ourselves. We're trusting alone in Jesus. Therefore, we must take up our cross daily. As Paul said, we must die daily. We must truly give ourselves over to Christ daily in that effort to live, to glorify our Savior, and to take up His cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.